CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360 Biz indeed. My name is Deb Homafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. It is indeed a beautiful Wednesday, but you know, this is a show that brings you all things business, and we specialize definitely in bringing industry champions, people that are good at what they do. And this show is nothing but here to inform, educate, and definitely keep you updated as to what's happening within the entrepreneurial stage out there. The sun is very hot out there. At least the weather has been bad, has been better today. Especially coming from a weekend of rain. My car, it's a problem. It flooded so much that even water came into the engine. My car is refusing to start. But anyway, you know what? I don't know. Or maybe I need to buy myself a scooter or these kind of cars. Or maybe we may like Mr. Tube and drive SUVs that are big. Anyway, I'm not alone in studio. I'm with a couple of guests that are going to be giving us some very insight info about different industry that we're talking today. It's something that is very close to my heart, but I'm going to be getting to them. Bulelani is not, unfortunately, in. I'm sure he is on the way. I hope he is, because I've not heard anything from him. But anyway, welcome, welcome, welcome. The name of the show is 360 Biz. However, you know, we've got an interesting, what do we call it? Do we call him a co-host? Do we call him a guest host? But he's not new to some of you guys. This gentleman is a friend of mine, the person that is equally passionate about small business. He's actually a host for an SABC One show called Making Move. His name is Sia. How are you, boy?
Good, hey, that introduction.
what's wrong with the introduction, bro?
No, nothing, man, nothing. You know, I'm used to introducing people, not people introducing me.
Is it? Yes. No, definitely. I mean, you know, they say you've got a face for radio, ne? So oh. Whether you've been on TV, so now at least this is a different platform.
Yeah. It is, it's something new, and thank you very much for having me. Thank you very much, your awesome team, and everybody here at the station as well. Something new. I'm always up for new challenges.
So, yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. So I'm looking forward definitely to having you. And I mean, some of us, by the way, next week, it is my last show in this studio, at least for this year, because I know that I'm traveling back to the States. So I'll be broadcasting from there. So I know that on some days you're going to be holding it down for us this side. Eh?
Hey, congrats. The States. The States. I think you deserve a hand clap.
Yeah, I know, my brother. No, it's nothing. They know we do these things, you know, right? Here, I mean, on Cliff Central, I mean, this show, it has to show that it has actually stood out within the issues of business. But anyway, a new world of energy economy is emerging, and now the question is, can the world run on renewable energy to accelerate the transition to a healthier, more secure, climate safe future? I mean, Sia, you've realized that outside, I mean, I can see me and you are rocking our t-shirts, my brother. Wow. It's hot, and having, you know, such a hot weather or energy out there, do you think as a country are we using this energy that all of a sudden has become? I know that we suffering from climate change and drought at this point in time, but would you say personally are we using this energy that we exposed to?
I would say yes and no.
Okay.
Look, right now we're seeing a lot of businesses emerging, but we're not seeing enough emerging as well.
Yeah.
And I also feel that some of our people need to be taught a bit more about, you know, renewable energy. Also, you know, climate changes, knowing how to, right now, it's not as how it was 5 years ago. Mm. Somebody was saying to me 5 years ago or 8 years ago, this time of the year, it used to be this, it used to be like that, the weather was like this.
Yeah, it's true.
We've had weather that's been going up and down for the past week and a half in Joburg.
Yeah.
You know, it's hot one day, it's raining, it's cold. We can't understand what's going on.
Yeah. You know? No, definitely. I'm hoping some of these gentlemen will help us definitely understand that. You've mentioned something very interesting in terms of we don't have enough businesses that are being built emerging into that. Speaking of businesses that are being built, it is said that we need to build a smarter, more flexible system that maximizes the use of variable sources of renewable energies. It is suggested that South Africa can produce energy from solar power, natural gas, wind power, aerobic digestion, and etc. I mean, today we're in the discussion, we're discussing the facts of that business of energy today. I'm very excited that in studio, I mean, we're going to be having some of the most amazing guests. In fact, not we're going to be having, we already have, I mean, these amazing guests. I mean, the South African Regional Managing Director, Mr. Siyabong Ambaja, who's the knowledgeable on the Katu Solar Park project and concentrated solar power and renewable energy as a whole, and will also provide insight on some of the things they do. Let me give this opportunity to Mr. Mbajwa to actually say hi. How are you, Babs? Yeah?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. How are you doing?
No, definitely. I'm good. Thanks.
Great. Thanks for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. As well, let me take this opportunity to welcome the managing director Green Building Council, Mr. Tulane. He's also with us in studio, but you'll get an opportunity to say hi and speak to you later on. But as well on the mic, we've got in studio with us Mr. Tarek Youssef, who's the co-founder of Empower Holdings. They supply solar power batteries to informal settlement. Mr. Youssef, how are you, my brother?
Hi, how are you?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Thanks.
And later on the show, last but not least, we've got Mr. Xolani Qubeka, who's the CEO of Small Business Development Institute, who's also in the Black Business Council and Recycle of Economic Development Initiatives called RENISA. You're going to be hearing from him as well later on. He's not new to the show. We've always had him. He's become part of the family these days. But getting straight to the show, maybe let me give Mr. Mbache an opportunity to tell us where is he from and what is it that he does.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'm the managing director of SENE, which basically is a global engineering and technology group.
Okay.
We've got different business units, but one of the units that is quite active in South Africa is the power, oil, and gas business unit.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been doing to date over the last 4 years or so is we've been participating in the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producer Procurement Program, which is in short, the REAP, which has been implemented by the Department of Energy. So we've participated in a few projects to date, particularly focusing on concentrated solar power. So what we do is we generate electricity. We then supply that to Eskom, and Eskom then distributes it out there to the general public, to businesses.
Hmm. Wow, no, that's interesting. By the way, Mr. Mbajwa, I was involved in the first biggest biogas energy plant in Bela Bela, where we put together the communities and we're taking pig waste.
Excellent.
And actually boil the digester to convert that into energy. So it's actually interesting to meet people like you that are in this space.
How is that performing at the moment?
No, definitely, it's performing very well. Now it's on phase two of the project, where storage and distribution of the project. We're still facing some hurdles with Eskom, and maybe after this I can let's get Eskom to actually move, because right now the point was to actually be a small scale kind of Eskom or energy company. We wanted to be the one that does the distribution, not Eskom does it on our behalf.
Excellent.
No,
excellent.
Definitely. So Mr. Mbajwa, tell me, what is Katu Solar Park project and how does it work?
Okay, Katu Solar Park is a concentrated solar power plant. It's the third project that we have launched here in South Africa.
Okay.
It's about 100 megawatts in terms of size, and just to break that down, it's probably equivalent to electrifying approximately 150,000 households.
Okay.
We started building that at the end of May, and we are planning to complete the project at the end of 2018. So from the end of 2018, we will then connect to the South African grid and we'll be able to then supply Eskom and obviously the general public as a whole with clean energy. What is different about concentrated solar power as opposed to some of the other technologies that are out there is the fact that we use the sun. We use the sun, which is obviously free. We're using clean technology, so it's not we're not using fossil fuels. But probably most importantly, is the fact that even when the sun sets, using concentrated solar power, we're actually able to continue generating because we've got storage capacity where we use molten salts to store the energy, and that allows us to continue generating electricity for 24 hours a day.
No, I like that. It's very interesting. Maybe let me come to Mr. Youssef. Mr. Youssef, tell us about Empower Holdings.
Hi, thanks for having me again. E-Power Holdings is a solution. Basically, it's a business we started that focuses on people who live off the grid.
Okay.
So in Africa, there's about 600 million people who live off the grid. So what we do is we put 20-foot or 40-foot containers in an off-grid area. So we put about 72 panels on it. We generate about 1.8 kilowatts. There's a power bank, powers the whole container. And then we put a TV on the container so the community can watch DSTV or whatever they want to watch. And then we have a Wi-Fi. People can play Wi-Fi. Then on top of that, we have a photocopier machine so people can come photocopy, whatever. So now you have a power source in a place where there was never ever power before. So and now we figured out how to put a network tower on as well. So now in our main business is we have about, in a 40-foot, we'll have about 2,000 batteries, specific batteries, and we sell them each for about 149 Rand. So the customer comes to buy it for 149 Rand. We have a complete biometric system, so the customer puts their fingerprints, so I know who has the battery at any given time.
Sure.
So let's say we sell 1,000, right? And then they go home and they have, it comes with a light, LED light, so that eliminates the use of candles and any hazardous stuff. So it has a 12-volt connection so you can charge your phones, anything at home. So when the battery dies, they come back and they pay 10 Rand. I give them a fully charged one. So it's an exchange system. So now you have this power hub in an area where you can charge phones and anything. So it's the first time you can actually reach rural communities. I'm actually, I've got two now here. I've rolling one in Shonshonguve. I have one in Muiplas in Centurion. I have one just arrived in Zambia now.
No, you must make sure that after this you link up with Mr. Mbajo, eh? I mean, see, isn't this fascinating, bro?
It is. You know, speaking about the whole system of you bring back the battery and then you get another one. When I was growing up, I stayed at my uncle's house.
Okay.
And they didn't have electricity, but they had a battery. You know, the car batteries. And that's where we could
watch. We used to watch TV.
And all those things. So it kind of took me back to that moment where then when the battery was finished, there was a house up the road
that,
where we used to just take the battery there. They would charge it. We paid. Then we got another one.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, some of us, we grew up in the informal settlement, Gumkuku. And that's definitely what we used to to definitely do. But now tell me, Youssef, wasn't it, you know, difficult or wasn't it high entry barriers coming into this industry?
Not necessarily. You can identify, well, the market says it all. So the difficult part is actually going into these communities and actually telling them, listen, this is what I'm trying to bring. But they don't understand really, so you negotiate and you pay for a certain piece of land, and only once you put it there, and then they turn on the TV, they're like, hey, there's TV around here, and then they start figuring out what it is.
Yeah.
And then since you have a power hub in the area, you can start figuring other businesses that you can do around it, in the advertising, the airtime sales, I mean, your network tower. So my vision for this, well, our vision for this in the future, I want to power young entrepreneurs around Africa to have their own ones, whether it's institutions, governments, or people, you know, they can have their own ones and make money out of it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It's
a challenge that I want to pose to Mr. Qubeka when it comes on, that let's start taking on Africa, because I think there's African countries, Mr. Qubeka, that need to be having this discussion. You know, it shouldn't only be after, yes, we've done the national colloquium, let's take it to Africa to say, how can we develop Africa so that we trade with each other? Because it's definitely something that we don't do. I mean, speaking about trading with each other, I mean, Mr. Mbajo, which areas did you develop or that still need development as far as the Katu Solar Park project.
Okay. Just on, in terms of what we are focusing on, which is concentrated solar power, to date we are mainly focusing in the Northern Cape area, and there's a very particular reason why we are doing that. The radiation levels are the highest in that area. So
you want the mines. Tell us the truth. You want the mines in Kimberley.
Not really. No. The radiation levels are highest in that area. So the three plants that we've got two currently under construction. Katu is one of them. The other one is the Ilanga, which is also 100 megawatts. Bokport is a project that we completed earlier this year and is already connected to the grid and is running quite successfully at this point in time. But going forward, we're not just looking at South Africa. Obviously, the Northern Cape, as I've highlighted, highest radiation levels is very close to Namibia. And as you know, we've had some challenges in terms of having a stable grid in South Africa, and we do sell our electricity to our neighboring countries. And when we do have those challenges, we simply start supplying those countries with less electricity, and they end up having problems. So what they're starting to do is they're starting to capacitate themselves. They're starting to build their own power plants. So we are looking at a few opportunities in areas like Namibia, Botswana, as well as other SADC countries. And we're actually participating, just talking about Africa, in Morocco. We are participating in the largest solar complex in the world, which is about 510 megawatts. So certainly this is an opportunity for Africa to be able to use natural resources to generate electricity.
I mean, what you're saying is so true, Mr. Mbadja. I mean, it has been said, I mean, in the Green Space Online energy campaign, that the energy industry has got an opportunity of creating about 7.6 million jobs and about 100 million, 10 million jobs by 2020. I mean, according to you, how realistic is this, though?
Look, I think, government, if you look at the National Development Plan, you look at the Infrastructure Development Plan for the country, the green economy, you know, is a very, very big part of that. So we need the green economy to basically create jobs. And you do that by attracting foreign direct investment, for example, by attracting industrial facilities to be set up here, so that some of the equipment that we use can be manufactured right here. And if we do that, obviously we create jobs. So if we create a new industry which was not there in the past, we will be creating, you know, new employment opportunities. So I think if we as a whole, you know, if South Africans are focused and we work in partnership with our government, and government continues to show commitment towards the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producer Program, then then I think it's quite realistic. I think it's a very, very important objective that we need to all focus on.
Is it? Mr. Youssef, I mean, some people believe renewable energy is expensive. Is this true?
Well, it is expensive. This is why we put a central hub where it generates power from solar that charges batteries that people can actually take home. So if you put a solar panel in each household, then it becomes expensive. But then again, we have this containerized solution that everybody comes around, so the social impact is even much better.
Is it?
Yeah.
So now, I mean, what you're saying, it's I'm not sure you're saying that because you're in the energy space, or
no, I'm just saying it's my idea. It's all this idea what we think can work around the container. So I know you're saying that renewable energy can be expensive. It is very expensive for some people to put panels and inverters and whatever in homes.
Mm. So then tell me, are there any hidden costs in renewable energy? Like there are in electricity. I mean, in electricity, you know, we've got things like water pollution, human health impact, and whatsoever. So is there something maybe that, or any hidden costs within the renewable energy space?
No, I think all the hidden all the costs is the upfront cost of actually setting up the whole thing. And then after that, it's
how
like
much?
Green
maybe
energy.
Give us
okay. So like a 20-foot, about 600,000 rand. We could do about 500 swaps a day, and a 40-foot, about 950,000. We can do about 1,000 swaps a day.
Sure.
On the batteries.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, some of the countries that you've put this in place?
We're putting one just arrived in Zambia now. They're actually busy setting it up.
Where about in Zambia?
In Lea Lusaka. We're putting it in Chisamba so we can showcase it to the public and everyone. And there's about 5,000 or 6,000 people there who live without power.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a perfect place.
Okay. Maybe let me ask this question to you and Mr. Mbaja, both of you. You guys have been building and they also setting up. In this setting up of yours, I mean, how involved are small businesses, though?
Okay. Can I tackle the cost question? Because I think cost is a big issue. There's a big debate as we speak in the general sort of South African market right now. So, you know, there is a perception that renewable energy is costly, but I think there's a reason why it's been costly historically.
Okay.
It's been costly because, you know, we have not really gone out there and rolled out renewable energy. As more and more countries show commitment towards renewables, as more and more people start utilizing renewables, even just in their homes and so forth, using solar PV and so forth, what you're finding, the trend, is that the cost keeps dropping.
Mm.
And maybe just to bring that back home, is that if you look at the Renewable Energy IPP program, which started back in 2011, the first round of those of that program, you know, the cost, for example, for CSP was over 2 rand per kilowatt hour. Right now, you will get that at just over 1 rand per kilowatt hour. So what that tells you, in a period of about 4 years, we've managed to drop the cost by close to 50. By a large margin. By basically, we've halved the cost. So if we continue with this trajectory, then it means that the cost of CSP, as an example, could potentially be well below 1 rand per kilowatt hour. So what I'm saying is that argument is starting to be a little bit, flimsy, to put it quite bluntly. So renewable energy is not necessarily more costly than other sources. In terms of SMMEs, on a project like Katu, we have basically targeted certain packages for SMMEs to get involved. We are operating within the John Dowlett District Municipality there, so we've targeted businesses from that area, and basically we're in constant engagement with them, and we've awarded certain packages to them, and they range from subcontracts that are, let's say, civils related, because right now we're busy with civil works, which is earthworks, we're busy with piling, so we've awarded some contracts in that area. There's supplies of different types of products. So SMMEs are a very important part of what we are doing. We don't just want to complete the plant. We also want to empower as we go along.
Asanda, we need to be part of that civil, eh? Yeah, you wanted to say something, Mr. Youssef?
I was saying, basically...
Come closer.
Basically, our colleague over here, his projects are the power they generate to connect to the grid.
Mm-hmm.
So now we focus on people who don't have any power, aren't even connected to the grid.
Mm.
So it becomes very expensive for them to actually go and buy a solar kit and put it in their home. Mm. So it's two different arguments on what you're saying about how expensive it is for someone and how isn't it expensive.
So before, there's something I want to ask Mr. Mbaja, but before I ask him, tell me, nuclear energy, how good or bad will this be for South Africa?
I wouldn't know. I'm not that
clear about
nuclear.
Oh, okay. Mr. Mbaja?
I think what I can tell you is that renewable energy is very good.
Is it?
Look, what we can say about nuclear, as well as coal, not just nuclear, is that that is what we call base load. That, so that's basically constant supply of electricity. No matter what time of the day it is, you're constantly generating electricity. So that creates stability in the system. For example, with the wind power plant, it'll blow, it'll generate electricity when it's windy. With a PV power plant, it will, you know, you'll be able to generate electricity when the sun is out there. And as soon as it goes down, then obviously it'll stop. So what you need is you need stability. And what coal does, as well as nuclear, is that it provides you with this stability. But with regards to South Africa, what we need is not that technology and not this technology. What we need is a basket of technology. It's a complete mix.
Mm-hmm.
We need a certain percentage towards renewables, a certain percentage towards base load. So that's basic.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of stability, I mean, why is Eskom not looking into renewable energy, preferably over nuclear?
Well, I think they are. If you look at what has happened in the Renewable Energy IPP program for the last few years, they actually have signed what we call PPAs, which are power purchase agreements. Those are agreements that Eskom enters into that guarantee us that Eskom will buy electricity from us. But what has happened lately is that Eskom is now saying, let's have a debate about whether we should be signing these agreements at all costs or not. So we're saying, you know, we're open to that debate.
Okay. You know, when you're speaking agreements, when you're speaking debates, I wouldn't be doing justice if I don't bring in Mr. Tubega, especially on this one. Mr. Youssef, before I let you go, for people that want to be involved in your initiative, where can they get hold of you?
Oh, they can email us on info@epowerza.com.
Info@epower.co?
No. Info@epowerza.
Or info@epowerza.
.com.
.com.
Our Instagram page is epowerza.
Okay.
And our Twitter is epower_energy.
Is it? So are you open to having discussions for people that want to take this into Africa?
Of course.
No, definitely.
This is all I do.
Make arrangement that maybe... they'll speak to you that maybe probably meet and
you
have
can
a discussion.
Come have a look at one.
No, definitely. But thank you a lot for your time
thank
and
you.
For joining us.
Thank you.
And we're looking forward to having further discussion. I think I'm going to be taking a break then from there. We're going to be coming back with Mr. Xolani Tubega and engaging some of these PPE contracts that Mr. Majwa has made. Show off.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize rod,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beta, Benz, big rig, bike, freezer, chori, chopper, clanker, crotch rocket, genka, gator cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimpmobile, pocket rocket, battle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next set of wheels.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
You are still tuned in to 360 Biz. My name is Dabohoma 40. If ever you've just joined in, you've missed out a very interesting discussion that we have around renewable energy in studio. The studio is power packed. We've got gentlemen here that you know have been speaking about nuclear, renewable energy, and taking advantage. So now, before we actually went on to ad break, we had posed a very interesting question to say how participating are SMEs in this interesting industry of renewable energy. And like earlier, I had said that we're going to be having, or in studio, I've got Mr. Thulani Khuzwayo and Mr. Xolani Tubega. Mr. Thulani Khuzwayo is the Managing Director for Green Building Council. Maybe let me take this opportunity to welcome him on the show so that he says hi to our listeners. Tell us who he is and what is it that he does, Mr. Thulani.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I think for me, it's just the exposure to the great minds in the room and hearing what kind of projects they're working on.
So yeah, that's what we do best. Yeah. That's what we do best.
and so just to introduce myself, I'm actually the managing executive there.
Okay.
And I look after the public sector unit at the Green Building Council. Mm. And that unit really is about advocating green building practice as well as green building education in the public sector.
Hmm. You see, now we're getting somewhere. And let me take this opportunity to welcome Mr. Xolani Tubega, who's the CEO of Small Business Development Institute, who's not new on the show. Mr. Tubega, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, and thanks for inviting us.
No, definitely. It's a pleasure having you. I'm sure you're sitting and listening and you're thinking, if I have this mic now, you know, I'd just be hitting.
Well, unfortunately, no, because one thing that I'm not, you know, a specialist in everything. So I always prefer to focus on the things that I know best. Because sometimes when you're a generalist, you tend to talk out of 10. But I'm sure if you have direct questions around specific issues,
yeah,
If I have a view, I will share that to you.
No, before we went to an ad break, Mr. Mbajwa made mention of something very interesting, that Eskom has signed a PPE agreement, you know, and part of that, it's to further involve SMEs, in regards to that. I know that you're in a space, that empowers, SMEs a lot. And with that, I mean, you're even planning, Vision 2030, you know, but, and as well launching and doing SME policy colloquium every year. This year, I think it's the third year.
Yes, it is.
No, definitely. So maybe I know that there's somebody, people that are listening that are new to this way, to this initiative that you're doing. You know, Sia and definitely the gentlemen that are in the space. So maybe do you want to perhaps give us a brief background? What is SBDI and what is this SME policy colloquium that you host every year?
Okay, thanks. And again, thanks for inviting us. First, the SBDI really, I would say our business, we focus on the supply chain. Because everything in business about the supply chain.
Supply chain, Mr. Mbajwa, supply chain.
Yeah, and the failure of most small and black businesses in particular, because they are formed without a specific integration to some of these major value chain, and that's really the problem. And the other problem, obviously, is that we have an economic infrastructure which is still reeling on the designs of apartheid, which is based on a monopolic nature of big business, you know, with smaller businesses are integrated and related to the very same companies. And the challenge we have is, how do we break these monopolies? How do we break this old boys club? That's one of our major objectives, to enable small black-owned companies not to remain perpetually small, but to be growth-oriented businesses, as it were. And we do that through a collaboration or symbiotic relation between these small companies and large companies, where, in fact, large companies are prepared to invest in bridging the capability gap of SMEs through ensuring that they can integrate them on a long-term basis into their major value chain through offtake agreements, you know, etc. And our part is to ensure that we can assist the small businesses to be able to bridge their capability, to be able, I think, to have better planning, to have better managed businesses, but to enable them to have a staying power, because the most impediment small businesses that they collapse if they're not properly geared towards growth. And the challenge, again, you know, is that most businesses, small businesses, they have a small business outlook, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you want to have a successful small business, you need to have a trajectory that says, in 5 years' time, I want to be big, in 10 years' time, I want to list. Therefore, your attitude is different.
You know what you're saying, Mr. Tubela, it's very interesting. Let me ask this question to Sia. Sia, I mean, doing a show, you know, that I know that you travel a lot, showcasing small businesses with potential, and that are seeming to be doing amazing things. Would you agree with Mr. Tubela that as small businesses, we've limited ourselves around thinking small? That's why we remain small. Or do you say, well, you've met some entrepreneurs that are thinking to the extent of listing?
What Tubela said is very true, because there's some people that only think for here and now. And a lot of the current, let's say, I'll put it current because it's in my current season right now, I'm focusing a lot more on startup businesses and where guys are seeing themselves going in the business. A lot of them, they started the business because I need to feed myself. You know, it's not I'm starting something that will grow me, empower people. In 5 years' time, this is where it needs to be. In 10 years' time, this is where it's going. It's something that I'm not working. I need something to feed my kid. So they focus is on making it now, getting that, you know, fist to mouth hand kind of way to say, I get this money, I'll buy bread, I'll buy this, I'll feed myself, and then I'll go back on the hustle, if I'll put it that way. You know, that's where it is. Whereas if you find someone who says, I've worked in this industry, I've got the background, I too want to be like this business that I once worked for, or even better, then that's where it's different as well. So it's how we go into business. Is it desperation, and or is it a, you want to grow, you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be a business person? So it plays those two roles in the business space, you know. And one more point as well. With the show that we've been doing, I've been on the show for 9 years. We've only profiled one entrepreneur who was working in the renewable energy space. Mm. One black entrepreneur. That says something, eh?
Yeah. It definitely does say something, that this is a space, this is a space that's not mainly played in. And let me bring in Mr. Khuzwayo on this. Mr. Khuzwayo, as the Green Building Council, you've said slightly in terms of the purpose that you guys serve as an organization. But now the main thing that we've realized in this space, whether being green building or renewable energy, it's mainly a big industry dominated player, or, you know, kind of focused industry. What is Green Building Council doing to make sure that small businesses are coming into play to actually partake or get empowered for them to tomorrow be the big business?
So the interesting thing about that is that the approach that we've used has always been to target the risk takers, the so that they can pull the market forward. So the first move was the risk takers, so they can pull the market forward. And the net effect has been that the we've created almost an industry where you've got sustainability consultants who work specifically on buildings and its energy, its water efficiency, and so on. And there hasn't been necessarily a direct efforts directed towards targeting small businesses. But the outcome of that, these sustainability consultants are actually small businesses. And by small, you could say it's a two-man show, but it's handling big projects, or two-woman show handling big projects. And that has been a great thing as a result. So we've created an industry, and of those risk takers has been these individuals, companies. And some of them have paid their school fees right from the beginning, and actually now part of the leaders in the space.
Hmm. I mean, it says here the Green Building Council SA leads the transformation of South African property industry to ensure that buildings are designed, built, and operated in an environmentally sustainable way. I mean, you spoke of businesses as small as two-man show doing a big business.
Yeah.
Can we speak figures? Maybe what is big business according to you guys?
Look, so there is no specific number that we're talking about as a big business. So, mm-hmm. So if we take companies that are members or part of the Green Building Leadership Network that we have, like Growth Point, you know, mm-hmm. So you talk different numbers there. if you're talking about other entities like Solid Green, who have a specific turnover, which is not the same as Growth Point, mm-hmm. but maybe handling big projects. But I want to mention something else along this. So part of what we're measuring is, besides energy and water, we've introduced a socio-economic category, which the idea is to take the transformation agenda in construction industry to a higher level. And the outcome of that has been that people who participate in that and projects who are targeting the socio-economic category mm-hmm. have got businesses, or people who participate in it, the outcome is that they have their own businesses and real jobs.
Hmm.
So it's not Tulani moving bricks from point A to B, but at the end of the project, Tulani is employable or is able to do other projects and start his own business.
Hmm. So now Green Building Council is a membership-oriented organization?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, tell us a bit about the kind of memberships you have and what kind of people you attract.
So membership in the early days, as we started out in 2007, has been big corporates who became members because they're multinational entities who also got the point a while back. We've got commercial companies, we've got retail, we've got manufacturers and product suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
There's the public sector is also coming on board, like there's the Western Cape provincial government as a member. We've got now SALGA, which is becoming a member and taking an umbrella membership, mm. with all municipalities effectively becoming members of the Green Building Council. So there's a wide spectrum of it, and very fascinating because we've got all these different entities who wouldn't be sitting at the same table,
mm.
but we've got them at the same table. So it's a cross spectrum.
Yeah, Mr. Kubera, I think we must have of green building in some of our discussions, because obviously they influence a lot of the property and construction industry. And obviously, I know it's some of the things that, as the colloquium, you know, are not only looking at empowering, in businesses within different industries. But I mean, now I've realized as well that, you've came up with a master plan. You know, do you want to give us, a high level goal of the master plan?
Yes. I think one of the things that I think becomes important is that, whilst we're trying to grapple on the ground with issues that pertain to challenges of SMMEs, the problem is that we do not have a template in South Africa around which SMMEs could be assisted. So we came with a master plan, first as a response, I think, to the National Development Plan, you know, that says by 2030, 90% of jobs would come out of SMMEs, which therefore means we need to do things differently. And for any critical change to happen, we need to break something.
Mm-hmm.
So as the SBDI, we want to break something. And what we want to break really is that stranglehold of large companies in the economy controlling all the value chains within the economy. The master plan, therefore, will seek to address various critical areas, which I can share with you. We have set ourselves some what we call some high level goals.
Mm. Yeah. So I mean, so some of these goals, it's
okay. Yeah. No, I'm going to share with them. You know, sometimes age catch up. You need to use other things to achieve other things. I'm looking for my spectacles just to share with one of them. Part of what I think we need to do, we need to be able to have a template of entrepreneurship.
Mm.
What is our country's agenda on entrepreneurship and inculcating a culture of entrepreneurship? How are we going to be able, as an example, to integrate entrepreneurship in our educational system?
Mm.
How do we identify high growth sectors where opportunities for SMMEs will be provided? How do we then break down those value chains and ensure that SMMEs would participate? You talk about green energy. Green energy is part of the fourth revolution. Mm. You know, within fourth revolution, we need to enable SMMEs to participate, you know, at the beginning, not, you know, at the end. Where there are new opportunities, you need to be able to integrate young people, because young people are more innovative, are flexible, you know, therefore they need to be that opportunity. So what we want to do, therefore, we want to locate SMME development in the epicenter of the economy. So the master plan, therefore, ought to bring South Africa together, get this as national SME policy master plan, and make sure also that there is high collaborators within key stakeholders of the economy, from the private sector and the public sector, as it were. And the master plan ought to be private sector led, you know, because government creates policy. But large companies, you know, your banks, your manufacturing sector, need to be able to agree to this master plan to make sure that as South Africa, we can move forward together and ensure that we can engender a long-term approach that ensures that at the center of whatever we do, SMMEs, you know, are at the center. We ensure that we have a growth-oriented culture of SMME development. And also they need to be a clear roadmap that says, how do we move third tier companies into second tier, into first tier, you know, of development, so that they not remain perpetual SMMEs. Therefore, the colloquium, we therefore wants to integrate and coordinate that process and bring all key stakeholders together. We're fortunate that we were able to influence the enactment of the Department of Small Business. And the fact that we have a department, that department is not an administrative department. Yes, it will have to look at that people are paid on time. Yes, it will have to look at red tape. But more importantly, it needs to integrate South Africa's economic policy as it relates to SME development, mm-hmm. so that the template runs across the economy, as it were, so that SME development cannot be no longer be a stepchild of the economy, but at the epicenter of economic development and inclusive growth.
So, and I understand you've got a two-day event, yes. You know, 27th and 28th. Do you want to quickly tell us about that event?
Yes, the colloquium, as you have correctly observed, is going to be the kickstart the process of crafting this master plan. Mm. You know, so the topics that I've just alluded to are going to be broken down into specific subjects that will be interrogated by each of the working groups. Post that, we have a master plan task team, therefore, that is going to do research, that's going to consult internationally, locally, a private sector in the public sector also, and ensure that there is buy-in, there's understanding, that we make sure that we have the necessary data that would support the implementation of this type of master plan, that we also agree in terms of what are those key sectors that perhaps could be targeted to promote SMME development, and what are those service sectors, because sometimes we also forget that the biggest employer is in the service sector. How can we best target service sector such as tourism, you know, such as wholesale, such as retail, as an example, marketing, legal services, law services, legal services, etc., to ensure that SMMEs are at the epicenter. I mean, right now you have big, large companies, auditing firms, law firms, but which are taking advantage of new business that ought perhaps to be used to use that procurement spend to promote the introduction of new growth-oriented businesses in the economy.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're actually running out of time.
Okay.
So this event, is it open to the public?
Well, it's open to the public. You know, we've never even charged the public since we started. All that people do, like working to attend, they can send an email to myself with their full details, the person's details, the title on your business, your email address, and we will forward. But where we have a cutoff, because our cutoff is 600, we are sitting in now just over 500.
Okay, your email address is?
It's Xolani, Xolani, dot Qubeka, Qubeka, at sbdi.org.za. We would encourage people to attend. In fact, I would also like to invite the youth, because in fact on the 28th we have a dedicated breakfast from 7:30 to 8:30, which will be with the minister and the deputy minister, where we just having a breakfast and a conversation around youth and youth related issues.
Okay. Can you send a tweet about this information when we're done? Mr. Kuzo, I want to take you on a challenge. I want us to do a show around green building.
Sure.
I want you to have you back, because I think we didn't do justice to you and the sector that you're in, because it's something that I think it's not well you know, people, and it's not well invested in, and people are not playing enough with it. Can you plan with Asanda that let's have a show on that day where we discuss nothing but green building?
Sure, I'd love that.
No, definitely. So for people that are listening that want to join membership, where can they get hold of more information?
So they can drop me an email. I'll give you my email address. It's tulani.kuzwayo at gbcsa. So that's thulani dot kuzwayo at gbcsa.org.za.
Okay, Mr. Mbanja, people that want to get hold of you?
Okay, they can go to our website, which is www.engineeringandconstruction.sene. Sene is spelled S-E-N-E-R. And they can also send us an email to melissa.campbell@sene.co.za.
No, definitely. I'd really like to, Mr. Mbanja, for us to have this discussion, even outside, if ever, because right now these are small industries that a lot of black people are not playing into, small business are not into. So, I mean, there is accommodative for that industry within the master plan. So that maybe even if next year we could guys have you as involved in some way or the other, that we get exposed to people. So in closing, we've got a general secretary from the South African Youth Chamber of Commerce. My brother, do you want to quickly say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are And what is it that you guys do as the chamber? My brother?
Hey, good day, and thank you for having me.
Can you quickly tell us what is it that you guys do as the chamber?
Look, the youth chamber was established 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
To basically mobilize all youth business formations in the country.
Okay.
But central to that was to, you know, be able to have programs
mm-hmm.
that are focused, you know, in developing young entrepreneurs in South Africa. So basically, our focus is on policy formulations, but beyond that, to create an entrepreneurial space for young people to be able to partake.
Okay. So for people that want to get involved, when can they get more information?
They can check our website. It's www.yccisa.co.za.
No, the YCCA, the SA.co.za.
Yeah, but if they are in, well, in all provinces, they can be able to consult, go to NYD offices as well. They can be able to get our details there because we exist in all the provinces of the country.
No, definitely. Sia, my brother, thank you for joining.
Mr. Mafodi, thank you very much for having me.
I hope it was informative.
It was very, very informative. Yeah. I mean, there's no way that we can fail as young entrepreneurs and young people out there who are thirsty for knowledge. But in Zulu they always say, you know, ngeke sikuthathe siyokwenza uphuze edibini. We can take you to the wall, but we can't force you to drink.
No, definitely. We can definitely take you to the wall, and we can't force you to drink. Catch us again next time right here on CliffCentral.com. My name is Debo Homafodi. The name of the show is 360 Biz. We out. CliffCentral.com.